This is the Horse Radio Network.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
Good morning, everybody. I am Glenda Geek from Ocala, Florida.
And I am Jamie Jennings from Phoenix, Arizona, and you're listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network for April 6th, episode 1,141, brought to you by Omega Alpha Equine. Good morning, Horse World.
It's Monday.
Monday is my favorite time of year.
This is Horses in the Morning with your lovable hosts, Jamie Jennings.
I am the queen. You listen to me.
I'm sorry that people are so jealous of me, but I can't help it that I'm popular.
Glenn the Geek.
You look especially radiant today, Your Grace.
I'm going to do a terrific show today because I'm good enough, and doggone it, people like me.
Happy Monday.
Well, good morning, everybody, and thank you for joining us here on Horses in the Morning. We hope you had a great Easter weekend, got to enjoy family, some food, and some fun. Yes, I am back, Jamie, and thank you so much to Jennifer and Jamie for filling in for me pretty much all last week, and Jennifer filling in for me all last week on several shows. I'm at the point now where I'm only coughing intermediately, or, you know, every once in a while. Thank you. I can't think of the word. Every once in a while, see, it affected my brain, too. The lack of oxygen to my brain last week was incredible. But I'm back, and, you know, I got to tell you, I saw some pictures from you over the weekend at a show, and I got to make a comment on them. You were taking Jet, who's one of your rescue horses, right?
Edward. I took
Edward. Okay.
Oh,
Edward.
Are you talking about Jet? Wait.
Let me see here. The Jumper Show, photos from Jumper Show over the weekend. Thanks to Alice Serrano for your incredible hard work. Is that Jet or Edward?
That's Edward.
Edward, okay. So you took, who's also a rescue horse, and thoroughbred, and took him to a show over the weekend. And Edward has had some, you know, issues before that we've talked about on the show. But, you know, apparently he did really good, huh?
He is what we would call a highly emotional horse. He gets very, very emotional. But he did great. He only melted down. Like, when I would take him to horse shows, he melts down and, like, freaks out and whinnies and kicks and paws. And he usually would do it for, like, 2 hours. And I've been taking him nonstop to places. So today we shortened the freak out to about 15 minutes. And then he was done. And then he was awesome. So, well, only about 15 minutes of life-threatening moment.
Let me just say that you couldn't tell the awesome part on the look on your face, which if you look at the pictures, it looks like total terror and horror the entire ride.
Are you serious?
Look at the first picture. I mean, look at a couple of the pictures, actually, and look at your face. It does look like you're having not such a great time. So was the jumping after the meltdown?
Yes, it was. But you have to realize, too, like he's the kind of horse, and people that jump horses will understand this, and Jennifer will get it. He's the kind of horse that, like, he sees the jump, and he's like, I got this, and he goes right for it, and he charges it, and then he adds a stride at the last second, like chips in. It's hard to get a great picture of him jumping, and every time he's jumping, I'm like, oh, God. I almost said the S word right then, because that's what I usually say in my head. I'm like, oh, you know, like that moment of panic. And so one of my friends was on the sidelines, and after my first show jump round, I came out, and she was like, that looked like it was really hard. But the second time he got better, we did a second jumper class. And, I mean, he went clean both times because the horse does not want to hit a pole. But, my God, he just – it's like, I got this, Mom, I got this. I don't got this, Mom. Like, I don't got it. Like that.
Change my mind.
Change my mind. I don't got it. But then he went on cross country, and I moved him up to a novice cross country course. And he did that was the jumper derby. We did the novice level, and he did not have one stop. He was fantastic in the novice. So I must say, I was very proud of him. Yes, I do look halfway freaked out all the time. But if your horse galloped up to a jump, charged at it, and then chipped in at the last second, you'd be freaked out too.
Well, now, give a shout-out to your two students who also did Blue Ribbons and had a good weekend.
Oh, my gosh. They both did great. Abby took my little rescue horse, Joey, and that was her second show. And she had some learning experiences, including a mid-show jump course. She goes in for her first show jumping round, and she gets about four fences in and screams, "I don't know where I'm going!" So if you notice, she has two ribbons. The rest of us have three because we did three classes each. And we didn't place in that one. And fortunately, it's a schooling show, so I was able to run out there and stop her and just say, "Okay, let's go over this again." And then they were kind enough. Alice Sarno, who was on there, was kind enough to let her finish her whole, like, start over basically and do the whole course. And so we had a lesson in preparation. And so, you know, you don't learn by being perfect. You learn by making mistakes. And then Rachel on the little pony Jacob, Could You Die?
Which
is the cutest pony ever.
Yeah, really cute white pony.
He's amazing. He's a little POA, and he's jumping 2.6. And for a POA, that's like 4 foot. So he was awesome. He was so awesome. And people are like, "Where'd you find that pony? How much did they pay for that pony?" I'm like, that pony sorted cattle when I found it. So she taught it everything, and we've worked together for quite some time on it. So I was super proud of them. And she came in second place in a jumper class to an 18-hand horse. And I thought, well, a little pony can't do much better than that. So an 18-hand jumper stride. So it was a great weekend. We had a very good time.
Very good. Well, Jennifer, what is coming up on today's show?
On today's Omega Alpha Equine Monday edition, Jamie is going to be green with envy because listener Dawn is calling in following her successful stalking of champion thoroughbred Wise Dan. And next up, Dr. Chang is going to explain performance recovery for horses so that even Glenn can understand it. And then after the break, we get a double shot of wacky when Horse Nation's Leslie shoots off the headlines, and then Jenny Autry from Eventing Nation has Rolex Preview 2.0. So stay tuned for the fray, folks.
Jamie, I just wanted to mention that laughing still makes me cough, so please don't say anything funny the whole show, okay? You keep that
don't
to
worry.
Yourself.
All right, no don't problem. Worry, I'm not funny. You're just
all
nice.
All right,
all right. Just
Well, my daily Winnie goes out to somebody. I'm not going to mention her name because I don't have permission to, but I want to read her email. She'll know who it is. And this was this email really did, you know, I had a long week last week because I was so sick, but this made my weekend when we got this, and I sent it out to all the hosts. It says, "Glenn and Jennifer, thanks for a great radio show. I have mostly listened to the shows involving Road to the Horse. You and your co-hosts have done such a good job making it sound really interesting. Actually, so interesting that I went to Kentucky this year. It was amazing, and I'm grateful that I did. It was for sure a once-in-a-lifetime experience." And, you know, I read that and was going, well, that's nice, because we met a lot of our listeners there, and there were a lot of people that went to Road to the Horse this year because they heard the shows. Then I read the next sentence. "I live in Sweden, the northern part of Europe. Where I live, I haven't met anyone who's ever heard of Road to the Horse, so it was a bit of a gamble. I watched it from the beginning to end and was blown away. Keep up the good work. Keep inspiring people to widen their horizons. Just wanted to show my appreciation. Without your radio shows, I wouldn't have done this." Wasn't that nice?
You know what's really awesome about this whole thing is that she is such a listener to the show, and she's such a loyal listener to the show, that she knew you would not know where Sweden was and had to tell you it was in Europe.
I did notice that.
I live in Sweden, a country in Europe.
Hey, we've had Swedish guests on here before, and we actually have had the Swedish reigning team on here before. So, thank you to that. That just made my weekend, and it, You know, I think sometimes we forget that people actually listen. You know, you and I do the show, and I do it with the other hosts, and we're just talking and having a good time and having fun at what we do. And we forget that, you know, people listen and take to heart what we say. And this woman spent thousands of dollars to go to Road to the Horse because of our radio show. And thank God she liked it, because this email could have turned out a whole lot different, right? She did have a good time, and it just made my weekend. It really did. So thank you to her for sending that over. We really appreciate it.
Good.
Somebody listen.
My Daily Winnie goes out to a whole bunch of horses. I would go out to Dawn, but she's going to be a guest in a second, and I'm kind of mad at her. So we'll talk about that in just a second. But it was a great weekend of Derby prep racing, and I just wanted to give you guys a little bit of a who's who, and this is kind of going to be an important one to pay attention to. Over the weekend, the Santa Anita Derby was run in California. That's the race that California Chrome won last year. And I just wanted to pay attention to the winner. Here, we're going to take a listen to the race.
And away they go to a very good start. And then Dortmund just took a little awkward step after the start, but has recovered quickly. And Dortmund on the inside now. One Lucky Dane up alongside and cross the line. Three of them in a line as they go into the turn first time round. Bolo is going to get a great spot right behind the leaders. Prospect Park has taken back second last, and Bad Reed Sanchez at the back. Six runners tightly grouped past the 7/8, and Dortmund has the lead now, and Martin Garcia slowing them down up front. Dortmund now just takes them along at a leisurely pace. In second, we have One Lucky Dane. On the far side has crossed the line in the red cap. Bolo is going to have to go wide, but only 2.5-3 lengths off the leaders. Prospect Park between runners, and last of all, Bad Reed Sanchez. All the riders keeping their eye on Dortmund out here, who's taking them along now. Dortmund in front, three parts of a length. One Lucky Dane is right there, second. Cross the line, red cap on the far side. Down at the rail, Bad Reed Sanchez up to fourth, only two lengths off them. Prospect Park and Bolo the last two, but they're no more than three off Dortmund as they go into the turn. Half mile left to go now in the Santa Anita Derby, and Dortmund is striding on for home, and Dortmund now gets a tap on the shoulder to kick away from them. One Lucky Dane crossed the line, Bolo on the outside, Prospect Park under pressure. Heads a turn for home in the $1 million Santa Anita Derby, and Dortmund has opened up on them. And it's Dortmund gone clear now to lead it by four. Bolo down the center of the track, One Lucky Dane, Prospect Park down at the rail. They're all chasing Dortmund, who's clear by five with a 16th to go. And Dortmund, another superb performance. Never looked like losing the Santa Anita Derby. Romps to an easy win under Martin Garcia. One Lucky Dane was second. Then there's three in a line for third.
Wow. It was an absolutely awesome race for Dortmund, not so much for everybody else. Well, One Lucky Dane did qualify also to go to the Kentucky Derby, so you'll hear that name again. But Dortmund is a son of Big Brown and just has been awesome. He's actually undefeated now. I think he's won the last six of six. So he is in good company, because another horse named Seattle Slew was undefeated going into the Derby too. So I think he's one to look at. Also,
now,
Carpe Diem.
I have before we go on, I have to say that Dortmund is owned by Kaleem Shah. Now, Kaleem Shah. And he's probably not going to most people aren't going to know who that is, but he's an IT guy.
Kaleem.
He's Kaleem, yes, Kaleem Shah. And he's an IT guy who came here from India in the 1980s and actually became very, very wealthy. He had I read about him not too long ago. He had $3,000 to start a consulting company in IT. He was a coder. He wrote code, computer code, in the early days of coding. And from that, he became a 100 bazillion millionaire and has since made his fortune in IT and also in racehorses. His parents and whole family in India were into racehorses, and that's where his love of racing came from. So after he started making some money, he started getting into racehorses, and he is the one that owns this particular horse. So I'm sure he's looking for a big win here.
Oh, that's really cool. That's cool. Carpe Diem won the Bluegrass Stakes at Keeneland over the weekend. I'm sure our friend Don was probably at that. Second was a horse named Danzig Moon, who's qualified for the Derby as well. And by the way, he was very pretty. Frosted won the Woodward Stakes. That's a son of Tappet. And then the horse, American Pharaoh, who we've talked about a bunch, he's going to run on the 11th. So he'll have his prep next weekend. But I wanted to make mention of a horse named El Kabir. He was third in the Woodward, and he's owned by Zayat Stables. And his jockey is a guy named C.C. Lopez. Now, El Kabir has also qualified for the Kentucky Derby, and his jockey is 54 years old. 54. They tried to get Calvin Burrell a couple races ago, and they couldn't get him. And so they basically went with C.C. Lopez, 54 years old. He has over 4,000 wins, but he's always been at like the low-level dirt track, the low-level tracks. And so he's kind of scratched his way to 4,000 wins. So just keep an eye out for El Kabir. There is a chance that they may change jockeys if he's going to go to the Derby. They said that they might consider a change if he didn't win the Woodward. No pressure, right? I'm going to cheer for El Kabir if they keep C.C. Lopez as a jockey, and we'll definitely keep you guys up to date on that. But, 54. That's older than Gary Stevens.
Yeah, that is, actually.
Pretty
but
awesome.
But he can still ride.
He did really well this weekend, too. So we've got actually a listener on the phone, and she posted some things on Facebook over the weekend, and I said, you have to call the show and be a part of it. Her name is Dawn Deems, and she is a race junkie as well, and she posted a picture on Facebook of her kissing on the nose Wise Dan. Dawn, good morning.
Hi, Jamie. How are you?
Oh my gosh, I'm jealous as can be is how I am. Talk to me, what was your trip? What was your weekend? What were you doing? First of all, where do you live?
Oh, I'm in Cincinnati, so, you know, an hour
not
and a half
too
from
far
Lexington.
Away.
Not too far, yeah. So, yeah, so we go to old friend retirement. You guys talked about that, I'm sure, retirement farm.
Mm-hmm.
Like once a year, usually in the spring. So we were planning to go down for the day. And, you know, I'd heard that Wise Dan, who, well, you know, I'm sure the most of the listeners know, is coming back from that fracture in his leg. So I found out he was back at Keeneland, and they're slowly bringing back. So I thought I'd go try to meet him. And I have a friend that's gone to see him several times, so I knew which barn he was at. And so we did the tour at Old Friends, which was amazing. Then we went on to Keeneland, and I don't know if he's in a barn that's kind of on the back side of the track. It's not where all the main barns are. I don't know if, I mean, you've been there, you know, many times. But so we drove right up to the barn and parked, and my husband was with me, and he said, isn't there going to be security or anything? You know, I'm like, Keeneland, you know, the public, you know, you can walk right around the barn. So we went to his barn and found where his, you know, trainer's stalls were, and there was a couple grooms. And I, they're like, can we help you? I'm like, uh-oh. And I was real quiet. I'm like, I just want to meet Wise Dan. They're like, sure. And she's like, he's in stall 8 down there. Just go right ahead. And I'm like, okay,
oh my God.
You're not going to walk with, you know, it's a, my husband and I walked down there, and I said, you better take tons of photos, and so we went and found stall 8, and he and the groom said, well, he's eating, but he should come out, because he's been getting lots of visitors, so he was in the back of his stall, and I just, you know, kind of got choked up, and I said, hi, Dan, and he came right over, and oh my gosh, Jamie, he's beautiful, he's friendly, as you could tell, I mean, it gets me, you know, let me kiss him on the nose, and just, he's a total ham, and we spent several minutes there, you know, just one-on-one, and then the groom came over, and she was talking to us, and, you know, I asked her some questions, but, I mean, they just let us have as much time as we wanted, and it was amazing.
Oh my gosh. Because I have stalked Wise Dan at Keeneland as well, did not have a friend who told me what barn he was in. And I was also with my husband. And I'm like, and you know, I used to ride there, so I was not uncomfortable walking around in the barns. I didn't know that you could just do it. I thought maybe I was going to get in trouble, but my husband was freaked out. He's like, we can't be walking around back here. We can't. Are we going to get like escorted out by security or like arrested? I can't get arrested. I can't. I was like, calm down. Nobody's going to arrest us for walking around barns. But I stalked him and I was looking for, you know, the trainers always have signs up or stall guards with their name or logo on it. And that's what I was looking for the whole time. And I couldn't find him, and there was not that many people around to ask, and I was so embarrassed. I was like, hey, where's Wise Dan? But you knew, and you drove right up, and they let you meet him, and I'm so jealous. It's so awesome. I got to tell you, I loved your pictures, first of all, because Wise Dan is in them, and he's amazing. But you just looked like you were meeting Leonardo DiCaprio. I mean, it was so cool. You were so excited.
Oh, that's sweet. it's
true.
Yeah.
You were just,
it was a dream come true. It really was. I mean, I knew you would understand, so that's why, share those with you. But, I got to see Zenyatta in person, which takes nothing away from that. But she was, like, on the other side of a fence. It was, you know, a bunch of people, or this was just one-on-one, and, you know, and then the group, I mean, the workers were so cool. They're just, I mean, I couldn't believe he didn't have a guard there, you know, in front of his stall. That's what my husband said, man, it's, you know, because I told him, you know, he won the Breeders' Cup and for Spear and all that. And, but he's just, and they said he loves being back at the track as opposed to, you know, he was on the farm for a while. And you could hear, because that barn's on the back side, behind the back stretch. So he would hear the horses, you know, the horses were going down the track for a race. And he perks up and listens. And they said he just really wants to be back out there. But right now he's still, they're just walking him under the saddle. You know, around the barn till his next x-ray. But he just, anytime he sees another horse going to the track or hears the races or, you know, hears the starting gate, he just perks up and, but he's beautiful. He's just perfect.
Oh, my gosh. I love listening to you gush because I would be the exact same way. And thanks for just bragging about seeing Zenyatta in person, too. I mean, that didn't twist the knife at all. So I do want to ask you, though, at Old Friends, you go every year. Old Friends is a place where racehorses go to retire, and they have, very famous horses all the way down to horses that were maybe ran 100 times and never, you know, got super famous, but they take care of them. And now they have Silver Charm. So did you get to meet Silver Charm?
Uh-huh. Yeah. Oh, he's beautiful. You weren't allowed to pet him because I guess he would bite because he's a stud.
Yeah.
We did feed him carrots. So, of course I did. You know, there's anyone who want to feed him carrots? Oh, yeah, you know. So, but, yeah, he's just he knows he's, you know, great. He just has this amazing presence, and he looks great. I think he's 21 or 22, but he looks amazing. He was really beautiful. And Game On Dude, who won, the San Anita Handicap, like, 3 times. Yeah, he's super friendly. So
is he there, too?
Yeah. But they let you do whatever with him. So I got tons of pictures with him and fed him peppermints. And, he's super sweet. So
now there's another horse who was there, and I'm losing the name, but you'll remember. Who is the horse that's at Old Friends that ran like 100 times and lost 100 times? Isn't he there too?
Oh, I think he's in New York at the Old Friends in New York. Dippy Chippy or something. Yeah,
Dippy Chippy. That's it. Dippy Chippy, who lost like 100 races and they never won, and so they retired him to Old Friends. Okay, so he's at the New York Old Friends.
We didn't see him, but I think he's up there. So,
hey Dawn, are you involved in the race world anyhow, or are you just a huge fan like Jamie?
I'm just a huge fan. We used to own Standardbred racehorses way back. My parents did. When I was younger, but no, I have a thoroughbred, you know, that I ride, but no, I'm just a huge, huge fan.
We're geeks. We're racehorse geeks. That's cool.
Well,
now,
I think, Glenn, I think that we need to do a racing show, and Dawn should be my co-host.
There you go. Now, Dawn, ooh, yeah, you two would be good together. Did you get to watch any races at Keeneland? Of course, that we should mention that Keeneland there in Lexington opened its race season, I think, this weekend, right? Wasn't it opening weekend?
Yeah, Friday. No, actually, we did. My husband's not big on crowds. We've gone on Bluegrass Day before, and it's, you know how it is. But,
oh, you can't walk. There's like a million people there. Yeah.
Yeah. So, no, we just did, you know, drove around, you know, did the old friends and went to the Keeneland Bar and just, you know, drove, you know, took some scenic routes and just, you know, had a good day. We just went down for the day, so.
Well, you know what I do miss about living in Lexington, I'm sure Jamie, I know Jennifer misses this too, is that is going out for breakfast at Keeneland on the weekends where they serve breakfast and you can watch all the horses work out at 6 in the morning. We used to love to do that. That was so much fun.
Oh, and like eat at the track kitchen or whatever?
Yeah.
Well, didn't they have it inside where you could watch the track at the same time? The track kitchen is the seedy area in the back of the track.
Yeah, no, this was the actual restaurant. The restaurant serves breakfast, and hundreds of people show up on the weekends during the meet to watch at 6 in the morning to watch the horses go around and work out, and they serve a full breakfast. And it was we just made sure we did that every year because it was so cool.
That is awesome. It's really fun. Keeneland is such a great place. And I've actually had friends offer me a place to stay for the Breeders' Cup this coming fall because it's for the first time ever going to be there. So I think I might need to go. I need to go to the Breeders' Cup this fall. I think it needs to happen. Dawn, leave your husband because he doesn't like crowds, and let's meet in Kentucky, and we're going to go geek out and do it. Let's do it.
Oh, I would totally do that.
Awesome. Well, it's been just a pleasure having you on. I'm so jealous, but I'm so excited at the same time. And you know what? Just my time to talk is coming. That's just all it's going to have to happen. So, your pictures are fantastic. We posted one on our Horses in the Morning Facebook page, and I'm so glad you had an exciting weekend. That's just fantastic. And old friends, do you know their website?
Do I?
Yeah.
Oh,
I think I have it. It's oldfriendsequine.org.
.org.
There it is.
Yeah.
Yep. Okay, oldfriendsequine.org. If you guys want to call and schedule a visit, they love visit. They love donations, all and anything. It's such a fantastic place and organization. It's gorgeous. It's just amazing. So you guys check that out. And Dawn, thank you so much for calling.
Well, before we let her go, I guess I have one quick question. What do you have, you know, do you have any favorites for the Derby?
Oh, gosh. Well, I loved listening to that race you just played. I've loved Dortmund all year, and I hate to pick the favorite, but I really do love him, and I love his dad, Big Brown. So I think he's my pick, Dortmund.
There you go.
He's not going to be the favorite. I think American Pharoah is going to be the favorite. And you know what really sucks, Glenn, is that both of these horses are trained by Bob Baffert.
I know. Your favorite person.
I know. Gosh, it'd be great.
We're never going to have on the show, I can tell you that.
Him and Mike Smith are never going to be on the show. Let's just own that right now. But Todd Fletcher has been on the show, and he's amazing, and his horse is Carpe Diem. So it could go either way. He's another favorite.
He's a good one. Yeah.
All right. Okay. Dawn, thank you so much.
Oh, my pleasure. Good to talk to you guys.
Good to talk to you, too. Oh, what a great trip. How cool to live an hour and a half from there and be like, yeah, let's go once a year to go visit all the horses at Old Friends. How fun.
Yeah, we haven't been to Old Friends in years. It's probably been 5 years since we've been to Old Friends, and I think they've tripled in size since we were there. It's gotten so much bigger now. They bought up a bunch of different farms around there. It used to be just the one farm, and now they've added to the land that they have there. And they had what seemed like a ton of horses then, and that was in the early days of when they first started. We interviewed him five, six years ago. I think it was before we were even involved with this show. So, yeah, it's been a long time since we've been there. Next trip to Lexington, we're going to have to head out.
Yeah.
Check it out.
I think so. Oh, cool.
Well, I think that we have Dr. Chang ready to go.
All right. I forgot. We Dr. Chang is our ad for Omega Alpha Equine. Dr. Chang, good morning.
Good morning. You forgot me. Just because I wasn't here last month, I've been forgotten already.
Hey, that's
well,
it.
I was going to talk about how great Omega Alpha Equine is, and then we were going to bring you on, but then I realized we could just talk about it together. How's that sound?
Even better. You see, there you go.
Now, what are we talking about today? We're talking about performance recovery for horses. And talk a little bit about all of this.
Yeah. Well, you know, everybody, one of the things that I was having my coffee this morning thinking to myself, well, what am I going to talk about in performance, right? I mean, we've done the thing about good health and so on. And my mantra has always been a healthy horse will outperform a sick horse. A healthy, mediocre horse would outperform a sick, good horse on any given day. All right. So what can we do? I mean, other than obviously keep the horse healthy by giving him immune boosters and so on. But there's this other little part that a lot of people don't talk too much about is what can we give to a horse to give him a little bit of extra oomph, all right, for a performance. And, you know, we have this nice product called Endurogen, which is based on a whole bunch of different ginsengs or adaptogens. And what the adaptogens do is that they literally give you a little extra oomph, but there's no caffeine or anything like that in it, okay? But because it gives them a little extra oomph, so people who would do well. Your trail riders, if you're going for a long ride, somewhere in the middle, you might want to give them a little bit extra just because, you know, it keeps your energy levels up. Your endurance riders, I know, will use it at break stations, you know, to, again, give their horse a little bit of extra energy, all right? Your dressage horses, your jumpers and so on prior to competition might be a good thing just to keep the energy levels up, right? What it does is that it gives them, the only thing about this particular product is start off low and work your way up to a dose that is good for your horse. And I always tell everybody, don't be afraid to play with the dose. Start off at the suggested dose, which I believe is about 30 cc's once a day. And you might want to do that during training, so then you'll know how it works with your horse. And you may or may not want to increase it or just drop it down a little bit. And you'd be surprised how much better performance you get out of the horse.
What I'm surprised at is I'm looking at this going, wow, this is great. And then I realize I don't need more energy in my off-the-track thoroughbred. That's why we use your Equine Chill. However, there are people that do need more energy in their horses.
That's
right. We had a jumper derby, and the guys, you know, we rode them for hours, and this would have been a fantastic product to give them before cross country, because they had done a bunch of jumper classes, and then they went out on cross country, and that poor little pony worked his little tail off, and this would have been a really good thing. What is in it, what is in it to make them keep going and to give them more energy and better performance?
Well, they have things there like the ginsengs, right? And ginseng is really well known for increasing the energy levels. There are lots of studies with ginseng, basically. They've done them on rats, basically. And one of the studies was like as follows. I think it was done by some Russians, and basically what they did, they split the rats into two groups, and they gave one set the ginseng, and they gave another set no ginseng. And basically, I call it the gloop, 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 gloop test. They let them swim, all right, and to see how long they can swim. And they found that the ones that they gave ginseng could swim a lot longer before they started to give up and drown. And that's the time they pull them out, right? So it's rat torture in a way. But this is how they would do the test to show that the product, what the properties of the ginseng. Right, and so it's based on ginseng, and we've added a few extra herbs in there just to basically give it that extra energy, so that it works a little bit better.
So right? Basically, Endurogen will keep your rat from drowning.
That is how it was tested, but on the horses, it does give them that extra energy, and even for people, you know, you go through a time when you're just dragging your behind around. It's not a bad thing to take too. I use it every so often. Especially when I'm just long day, just dragging you behind around, you need a little extra lift. And that's what I do.
Oh my gosh.
And you know what? Doesn't test. Key.
This is the non-testable five-hour energy drink.
There you go. Caffeine-free, right? No,
taken a few different of the Omega Alpha supplements, so I do want to let you know that some of them do work for on humans. The ones that I've taken certainly have them. I think some of them we have to discuss the flavoring, because I don't need alfalfa flavored stuff all the time.
We want to say that the Omega Alpha Equine products are not recommended for human consumption. Just saying.
Yeah.
Just saying.
I got your disclaimer in there, Dr. Tang, okay?
Thank you.
You're welcome. I wanted to keep from getting yelled at later, so that's why I thought I'd do that.
But I will say this. We do use human-grade ingredients on everything we manufacture for the horses.
Well,
so it's not as though... Sorry.
Let's mention that real quick, because in Canada, you do sell human supplements as well.
That's right. Human, and also for small animals, dogs and cats.
Right.
All
right. Right. Okay.
Another thing that I was going to say for recovery, especially, you know, after a good workout or after competition, you know, sometimes people may think, well, this endurance stuff is just for the pre-competition, but post-competition, it helps them recover a lot faster also. And I also know there's certain horses, for example, if you're going for competition like show jumping, etc. You know, sometimes the horses afterwards don't want to eat. So again, you got to look after that gut, right? Mm-hmm. So you know, you get to get that biotic aid in there. And we have this new product called Regeneric, which we have gotten very, very good results with. I mean, it just seems to settle the stomach. And, you know, if you have a horse that just won't eat, you know, you give him a couple of doses of Regeneric. Next thing you know, his head is in that feed bucket, just hoovering up all the food.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I've had some listeners that we've recommended that to, and they tried it and have had huge happy results with it.
Yeah.
So definitely. Now, I wanted to ask you about, just because we're on the line of the competing and then, you know, the recovery afterwards. I've got the Omega Alpha booklet here, and I was looking at Equicel BCAA paste. It's a recovery formula with branched chain amino acids, and I'm no genius, but I believe that amino acids are certain things that are in your muscles to help with recovery.
Yeah, this is an extremely good product for recovery, and the reason for that is the two things. It gives you the electrolytes. Electrolytes are basically salts that have gone out with the sweat, so you need to replace some of that salt, so hence the electrolytes. So it's basically sodium chloride, magnesium, potassium, and some calcium in there. That's your basic electrolyte formula, right? And then on top of that, you have the branched chain aminos. The branched chain amino acids are important because post-exercise, all mammals, there's breakdown of muscle tissue. And what branched chain amino acids will do, will help inhibit that breakdown, but more importantly, there's that magic window of 2 hours post-exercise that if you consume it then, it gets the best benefit at helping to rebuild some of that muscle. And those branched chain amino acids actually promote the building of the muscles. So
you're at the show all day. You're at the show all day. Sorry to interrupt you. You're at the show all day. You've got your horse hosed off. You're about to put him in the trailer to go home. This is the time to give it to your horse. I have my thoroughbred. When he gets home, he's off his feed for a day, and he loses weight at shows, no matter what, short show, long show, 3-day event. Doesn't matter. He always kind of comes home just like not as perky as I would like him. So this sounds like something good to put on right before you put him on the trailer, take him home.
Definitely. And what I would even suggest, you try that Regeneric product. You'll be amazed how quickly he's back on his feet. You know, like we have had people who've used it and say, oh, my horse used to be off his feet for 2 or 3 days after competition. He says, you know, since we started him on this, he just goes back to his feet as normal. And most horses, if they're off their feet, usually it's an indication that there's something, ulcers or something like that going on in the gut. So, you know, this does help soothe the gut. And it sort of stimulates the appetite too, which is a good thing.
Is this as the Regenerex something that you need to put in the syringe and dose, or can you put it on the feed?
You can top dress the feed, but I usually like to dose just because, first of all, if your horse is not eating and you top dress the feed,
yeah,
it is not going to get into him, right? So what you do, it's easy. You give him a 15cc and just shoot it up into his mouth. He'll eat it, right? And
15.
Then
that's not bad.
Yeah, it's not bad. You don't have to stand there for 2 hours trying to get it into him, right? Usually this is the best way of doing it because, as I said, if you top dress the feed and he's not eating, you're just throwing it away.
Right, right.
Yeah.
Okay, fantastic. Now, what do you have anything else that you would like to suggest for performance recovery? I know your Hemix product we've talked about.
Yes, the performance and the Hemix product, again, to build the blood, increase the red cell concentration, increase red cell count. And now, you know, it's not like an EPO. It does not bring it above physiological values. It just brings it to the high side of normal. And
okay,
any, you know, basically blood values, red cell counts, there's a range. And if your horse is at the upper side of normal, it tends to do better. It tends to seems to have more energy. It seems to perform that much better. And you know, at the upper echelons of competition, it's just a little extra oomph that's necessary to win, right? Nobody at the upper levels win by a mile, unless the horse is a freak of nature type of thing. But most horses,
right,
most competitive horses, it's just a little extra, you know, that makes a difference. That's
mm-hmm.
why I always say, you know, if your horse is healthy, right, and you got to keep him healthy. And I like to stress the use of things like the immune boosters. Immune boosters are very important, but nobody thinks of immune boosters until their horse is sick, and then they say, oh, I should have given him that, right? But then it's too late sometimes,
true.
Right?
It's true.
Anyway.
So, you know, they say the horses, you know, he won by a nose. That could be the difference, and it could be the nose, you know, having an immune booster system, having the blood moving
just,
well, all the red cells.
Yeah, just keeping the horse healthy, even something like the minerals and the vitamins. Right? We have a very good product called Minerec. And, again, most people think, well, my horse is getting pelleted feeds. He's getting enough minerals and vitamins and so on in the feed. Again, it depends on how much you feed the horse. And also, sometimes if your horse is extra stressed, because you're going through competition, right, you may need to give him a little bit extra. So the Minerec is a good thing, basically, to add on top of whatever you're feeding him, to ensure that he's getting more than enough. And the key for competition horses has always been more than enough, because if you just have enough, it's hit and miss. More than enough means that there's a lot of extra that they can use whenever they need to. And the nice thing about the minerals and the vitamins that we have, they build up, but they don't build up so much that you have to worry about toxicity or anything like that, because a lot of these vitamins and minerals are also water-soluble, so it goes out in the urine sometimes.
Mm-hmm, right. And
so,
I got to just, before we, I just want to tell you about my experience with the Minerec. It's a powder, and you put it on the feed, and it doesn't look very tasty, but my horse ate it up no problem. I put Jet on the Minerec over the winter. He's a rescue thoroughbred, the one I've shown you pictures of, and he's just a mess, and he has been. I put him on it this winter because his coat always looks terrible in the winter, and he just doesn't look thrifty in the winter. And I put him on the Minerec, Dr. Chang, and he is shedding right now, and he's shedding with dapples. His coat is shedding out to a dapple bay. I've had this horse for 5 years, and he has never had dapples in his life, and he's just thriving. His coat looks so good coming out, and I'm going to take a picture and post it later because it is amazing. I've never seen him look this good, and I really think that it's the Minerec, that just getting all those vitamins and minerals kind of more balanced is what I was hoping to do, and I think that's really doing it.
It's bringing out his true color. Right.
Yeah, exactly. He's actually nicer too. I don't know if that helped, but
One of the other things I was going to say, don't forget, this is spring season, don't forget to do a liver and a kidney and a lung flush, just because it's a, you know, as a, it's a detox, but if you do it at the springtime, it's a, this is one of the best times to do it, just to clean out that liver, clean out that kidneys, and clean out the lungs, and you know what, your horse is going to just love you for it, because you know, when you do a detox, you're just going to make the organs a little bit more healthier, right, and make it work a little bit better, and that's what you want with some of these things. You know, sometimes people are looking for that magic potion, but I always say to people, it's not the magic potion you got to look for. It's the everyday, day in, day out, looking after the health, all right? And when I say looking after the health, I mean looking after the, all of the horse, not just the joint when it feels inflamed, not just the stomach when he's not eating. You got to look at the entire system. So this is why you do all these things, just to keep the horse healthy.
That's great. And then you guys can learn more. The Oasis Professional Training, it's a training form for coaches, trainers, and athletes. It's going on. And Omega Alpha is committed to helping you guys learn more about their equine products. They offer free teleseminars and web classrooms. They're held the last Monday of the month at 9 a.m. and 7 p.m. Eastern. The next webinar, you've got a little time to prepare. It's April 27th, and they're going to talk a little bit more about performance recovery, and you can ask questions after the webinar. Registering is easy. If you don't have a pen right now, you can email us and we'll tell you. But you can call 1-800-651-3172, 1-800-651-3172. Ask for Joanne. She'll give you your web classroom address and entry code, and then that's where you guys can go on and learn more if we didn't cover today. Because I think, Dr. Chang, we covered your entire equine health catalog today. But
that's
what we do.
Not quite. There's still a lot of them there. You know, we have a fairly big line. But I mean,
Dr. Chang, I have to ask you, I got to spend some time with Patty and Jeff, your reps down here in the United States over at the Live Oak International, the driving show. So that was fun. Are you guys going to be anywhere at Rolex?
Oh, yes, definitely. I know we have a booth at Rolex, so Jeff and Patty is probably going to be down there, and some of the other Omega Alpha team is also going to be there. I believe that's in towards the end of April, is it?
Yep,
is it not?
That's coming up in a couple of weeks. Actually, we're going to have our first Rolex preview coming up later in the show today. So, yeah, that's why I wanted to ask you. So they can look for your booth at Rolex. You'll have one there.
Definitely. We will be there.
And I remember, Jamie, aren't they usually set up in the indoor arena where all the shopping is?
Yeah,
they're shopping everywhere. Yeah, they're usually in the indoor, about smack in the middle.
Yeah, I think that it's usually... Usually that's where we are, but sometimes you never know. It's wherever they put you, that's where you are. But
that's true.
I think we're usually in that big arena anyway. All right.
Okay.
So,
cool.
Well, if anybody's coming by the Rolex, please pop by the booth and just to say hi, hello, how are you?
Yep.
Excellent.
Very good.
Right. And Dr. Chang, thank you so much for being a sponsor of Monday's show. We love you guys, and you guys are changing the lives of horses and the riders everywhere. So thank you so much, and we will talk to you again next month.
My pleasure, and goodbye.
Bye.
Well, let's take a break for our sponsor, Equestrian Collections, and our song. We are coming up a little bit later in the show, in a couple minutes here with Leslie Wiley with the Wacky World of Horses. And I know Jamie has a bone to pick with her. And then also we have Jenny Autry of Eventing Nation will be coming up also with a Rolex preview over the next couple of weeks. She's going to join us and kind of give us a look at the only four-star event in the United States. So all of that is coming up in a few minutes.
Coach Jen here, and I'm here with Debbie from Equestrian Collections. And Debbie, as usual, has the much-anticipated EquestrianCollections.com Product of the Week. What have you got for us, gal?
Well, everybody who listens to us knows how much I love the Carrots items. They come out with something new every spring, and they're out with their new spring line now, and I wanted to feature those this week because the colors are way cool, as they always are. So this week I'm featuring the Carrots Flow Ride Performance Tights. They come in a lot of new colors, a ruby color, which is, you know, the red color. They have the Caribbean, which they've had for a while, but in a different kind of a little style. They're just, you know, you can't beat them for comfort, and you can't beat them for the color. They also have the shirts, you know, that match them. They're all on our website. But I also wanted to mention they also come in plus sizes. It's getting harder and harder to find plus size riding clothes in any kind of cool colors, but Carrots always keeps our plus size riders in mind. So be sure and check out the plus sizes. They have the same way cool colors that they do for the other sizes. And all are currently available. They're just out, so order them right away because I guarantee you, especially in the plus sizes, they will be gone before the summer gets going. So take a look on the website, www.equestriancollections.com. Put in Carrots Flow Rise Performance Tights, and they will come up in both regular sizes and plus sizes in the coolest colors in the world.
Awesome possum. Thanks a lot, Debbie.
Well, that was Nothing Left to Lose by Chancey Neal. And I wanted to mention, too, that she's going to be playing the South Georgia Tour with John Langston April 23rd through the 25th. They're going to be in Tifton, Valdosta, and is it Americas? I've never heard of Americas, Georgia, Jamie.
That's it. And you know what? I got Ken and Tifton. I'll send them on out.
There you go, and you can. We'll post a link to. I told Chancey that we would post a link to that on our Facebook page. If you want to see her on her tour with John, you can do that. They're coming up the end of this month. I think that's actually the same weekend as Rolex. You're listening to Horses in the Morning. I am Glenn the Geek back with you, and Jamie Jennings is here, and of course Coach Jen in the producer chair. We're brought to you by Omega Alpha Equine. We have a couple of guests still coming up today. But I wanted to mention that that they had a harrowing experience in Australia over the weekend at a horse camping event. There were 150 people, and their horses were camped at a place called the Ogilvy Place Park. And they had a massive rain, just like they did in Lexington over the weekend. They had this massive rainstorm, which ended up flooding the park. At 11:30 p.m., everybody was in bed, and they all started to get woken up by saying, "You got to get up. There's water everywhere." And when I mean everywhere, the pictures were showing horse trailers floating away. So, I mean, the water came into the place where they were camping. Fire rescue crews and emergency services showed up, and they managed to get about 100 people and their horses out, but 50 other people and their horses were stuck overnight and could not get out until the next morning when they brought in excavators to get some of the water away. They were basically stranded like on a little island area overnight with water all around them. Talk about scary to wake up to that.
Where is this?
This was in Australia. The one quote says, "My daughter ran to get her horses. It was ankle deep. Within 3 minutes, it was up to her knees and kept going." They said the toilets were floating away. There were cars floating away. People's beds floated by. There was horse gear. It was terrible and frightening for a lot of people. Trying to get everybody out was a mad scramble. What? Talk about nightmares. There's one to wake up to. All of a sudden, you wake up, you're camping, and everything's floating away.
My gosh, that's amazing. I know that there was a ton of rain in Kentucky this weekend, too, and I read something about the horse park was flooded.
Yeah, yes, there were pictures. You see some of the pictures that our Lexington friends were posting. I mean, Reese couldn't get home the one night, her usual route, because the road was just flooded. I mean, there was so much flooding there.
Crazy.
And, you know, it's funny because when I read about them, and you're a little bit different out where you are, but when I read about them, they had like a couple of inches of rain in a short period of time, which caused all the flooding. And I read about that and I go, we'll get 5 to 10 inches of rain in a day here, and there's no flooding because it all just sinks in. It's so much different in land that's not made of sand.
Yes, it's very true. Yeah, no, it rains. If it rains 2 inches here, the city is flooded. People, if it's threatening 2 inches of rain, people have got sandbags and they're blocking their houses in certain places. No, it's crazy. And this is sand here, but it's so packed and not. It's just not ready to soak in any water. It's desert. Anyway, it's weird. It sounds weird, but no, we flood like crazy here too. So I don't know. I mean. It makes me happy we don't get that much rain. But you get 5 inches in a day? Sorry.
We'll get 5 inches in 2 hours sometimes. In those summer pop-up storms we get here in Florida every day, you'll get 2, 3, 4, 5 inches in a couple of hours, and half an hour later it's gone. You have hardly any evidence it even rained. It's just...
Wow.
It seeps in that quickly here in Florida.
That's cool.
There was another wild story. You know, usually we don't do the horse rescue stories because there's like 100 a day, right? I mean, there's horse in our neighborhood over the weekend. I heard there were 7 horses that were taken away by I forget which agency it was because of neglect.
Well, this one though is totally unique, and you must report on the story when. Okay, so let me paint the picture for you.
Yeah.
There's the Ladbroke Inn, and on Vermont Route 7, or Route 7, and I mean, we're talking a pretty down-in-the-dumps motel. And there is a truck and a camper, a car and a camper, parked behind the motel, like a little tow-behind camper. And there is... The police were called, and animal rescue was sent in because they found 2 miniature horses, 2 minis living inside the camper.
Ugh.
2 minis living in the camper. I think that the owner was living in the seedy motel, and the horses were in the camper. So they were found in poor health, believed to be caused by the conditions inside the camper.
My guess is the lady didn't own an Equity Flex and Fork. That's my guess.
Well, I think she was having more problems than not having a Flex and Fork, from what I'm understanding. She has been cited with animal cruelty. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. False information. She's under arrest. She's in jail, basically. But, yeah, living in a camper in a parking lot of a motel. That is ridiculous. They're pretty lucky that there was no minis in the motel, I guess, from what I've
seen. Yeah, that's right. There might have been at one time. We don't know.
Yeah. Maybe better off. They're now at a horse rescue and they're being taken care of. But yeah, crazy, right? Can you imagine being like, you know, like I'll see seedy motels when you stop somewhere for gas, you know, and you're like driving in the middle of nowhere and you stop somewhere to get some gas and you're like, oh my gosh, look at all the garbage over there. There's minis in there. That's insane. Makes me want to look around a little.
That was pretty crazy. That one caught our attention. When you see that headline, it just catches your attention. Well, let's
the headline,
head on
two
to
miniature
the next
horses.
Part of the show. Oh, Jamie, I know you're not happy with her right now.
I'm
so
not
you
here.
Just sit back. I'll take care
I'm
of
not
this,
here.
All right? I'll take care
I'm
of
her. I'm not
it.
Here.
Horses, the ultimate frontier. These are the adventures of Horse Nation. Its weekly mission to explore strange equestrian behaviors and to exploit horse humor in the wacky world of horses.
That's right. It is time for Leslie Wiley of Horse Nation to join us with the wacky world of horses. And, of course, she's coming off one of her biggest weeks of the year over at Horse Nation, and that is April Fool's Week. And, Leslie, I have to tell you that Jamie is no longer speaking to you. She hates you, and she is very upset at one of your posts. So I just want to clarify.
I just put two and two together, and I know why she's mad, and she and probably 35,000 other readers. Not real happy. Not real
not
happy.
Not real happy. No. You have attacked the sensibilities of, and when, boy, when I say sensibilities, when you talk about Man from Snowy River, Janie just about cries at the mention of the title. So, and then you guys had the audacity to post that it was going to be coming back. Man from Snowy River 3 was going to be coming to theaters in 2016 with the original cast and crew.
Yeah, that movie is near and dear to a lot of people's hearts, apparently.
Yeah, you learned the hard way, didn't you?
Yeah, so April Fool's, we always have, you know, we always have a lot of fun with it every year. And this year we just did a whole day's worth of fake stories that sound, you know, sort of believable until you sort of get into them. And we posted this one at the end of the day thinking, you know, if you've been anywhere near the internet today, you know, it's April Fool's, and surely your April Fool's radar is, you know, alarm is going off right now. So Man from Snow River, the original came out in 1982. The sequel came out in 1988.
Wow, is that long ago?
Yeah, I know. So
when the first one came out.
So Amanda Ronan, who, you know, does a lot of our film review. She's sort of our resident TV and film critic, and she wrote this sort of spoof piece that Man from Snowy River 3 was going to come out next year, featuring the original cast, and come on, Jamie, this should have tipped you off, a clone of Denny the Horse from the movie. He passed away several years ago. Jamie was not alone, and a lot of people actually read through this and had a little thrill in their hearts, only to be crushed, to be just emotionally pummeled at the end when we said Happy Fools. Sorry, guys.
Okay, listen here. Let me just get started with you. First of all, the title, original actors and equine clone to star in Man from Snowy River 3 coming to theaters in 2016. I'm reading the article. I'm like, that's ridiculous. And I start reading the article. And wait,
you've got a current picture of Sigrid Thornton, who starred as Jessica. Then I scroll down. Hey, there's a current picture of Tom Burlington, and they're standing in front of, like, they're getting their photos taken. Like, it's current. They look famous right now. There's an actual clone-looking horse. Denny looks like just like him, a picture here. There's a total understanding of... Now, Denny did die in number two. Spoiler alert, the movie was in 88. So I thought, that's a little weird, unless they're going to have flashbacks. And I thought, well, maybe they could have flashbacks. It's not a real clone, that'd be ridiculous. So I'm reading this, and I'm like, this could happen. This is going to happen. I am so excited. People were posting this on my Facebook page, emailing me, calling me, texting me. There's going to be a third. My brother was like, oh, my God, I heard there's going to be a third. Of course, he knew it was a total scam, jerk face. But he lets me know. Everybody's posting it on my Facebook page. I'm so excited because these are serious. Like, filmmakers recently released a short video of life on the set, providing the first film images of Man from Snowy River 3. I mean, this is for real. And then I read one small thing, and it resonates in my head as something that you have said before. And I believe you made fun of Spur for serving Jim Bandicoot stew, and Clancy was involved in that too. Bandicoot stew was what they served each other. They were eating over the fire. And then I realized that the quotes from the actors are coming from Bandicoot Stew magazine. And I'm like, that effing Leslie, I am going to She is dead to me. Dead to me! It was the end of the day. Everybody's already pulled their pranks. It's time for real news, Leslie. God, I hate you so much.
There's a few other people. I was reading the comments. Oh, my God, Darlene, Monique is like, no, the inhumanity and cruelty of this joke. Not nice to get all our hopes up for this. This was an awful thing to do to us. Please tell us it was not a joke. I'm so sad now. God, this had to be one of your better efforts there, Leslie.
Well, listen, on the bright side, maybe we should send a link to this to, I mean, maybe if there's this much interest in a part three, like maybe some filmmaker could get, you know, would see this and be like, oh, we need to make this movie. Maybe not with maybe hologram technology is to be like coming soon, right? So they could maybe do
you know
a hologram of Denny.
You just shut up. I like Christy's comment under the post, and I think this is most appropriate when she says, what a bunch of dicks. Speaking about horse making staff.
Wow.
What a bunch of dicks. Oh, I'm getting out of here.
Didn't see that.
Cool. You're like, I should delete that.
We have the best readers. We really do. They're passionate.
Well, now you got
me. Gullible.
You did, yeah, and gullible. You did get me because I am always the one that, and Jennifer especially, loves archaeology. If she had it to do over again, she'd be an archaeologist. But I was reading this story about horses and archaeology, 2,000-year-old skeleton found at Roman site. So I start reading it because you know, that's I read about that stuff. We report that stuff here on the show. What was unique about the skeleton?
Well, Glenn, it had a unicorn horn. What appeared to be a unicorn horn?
You found the first unicorn. Perfect evidence of a unicorn. That's when I started getting... This is one of the unicorns. Because I don't remember reading about unicorns 2,000 years ago.
Yeah.
But this is one today, because this could happen. I mean, she owns the whole world in horses. She might as well run for president, right? The B. Madden announces presidential candidacy. And you guys did your graphics work here, too. I was impressed with that. You really made it look like a campaign. And then... And I love the comments that were on Twitter. Finally, a 2016 candidate we can all get behind. Just heard the.
Oh yeah, I think she might actually have a chance if she ran for president. Judging from our reader comments.
Yeah. Was she a Republican or a Democrat, or didn't you guys? Was she independent with your?
Yeah, we didn't really look into her political leanings, but I think she's just not important. She can jump big jumps. She can do anything.
She owns the jumping world. What more do you want?
Yeah, exactly.
That was pretty good, too, I have to say.
Well, I like the shocking George Morris footage uncovered and basically saying that George Morris might not be the man that he claims to be because there's some undercover footage from the reporter named Briar Lilly that was taken. And I start watching the video, and it's hilarious. This is so funny. It's got Briar horses and Briar models riding the horses, and it's hilarious. One is like the horse runs out, the rider falls off. You got to watch this video because it's hilarious. Yeah. And what is more funny is that I like recognized all the horses. I'm like, why is Zenyatta jumping fences? Like, you couldn't. God, I just don't know. My husband puts up with me.
I gotta ask you, Leslie. You guys poke a lot of fun all year long at George Morris. Have you ever heard from him?
We've never heard from him. I don't know if he. I read an interview once with him, and he says like he just stays far, far away from the internet.
Somebody has told him about this. I guarantee you, he's heard about it, but he just doesn't think he cares. No, he doesn't care. And he's just so much strict. He does get a little bit of criticism poke fun at. If there was a Tonight Show for the horse world, he'd be on there a lot. So I think that's why he just ignores it all. And, you know, he cashes his checks from doing expensive, you know, he's not doing too bad right now. So
And I would also say that if I ever did get a letter of hate mail from George Morris, like, that would be it. Like, I would just retire right then. I would hang it on my fridge. I would, like, there's no topping that, right? Like, that's the pinnacle of life experience.
Well, before you retire, post it for all of us to see.
And frame it on the wall.
Yeah, we'll just take down the website and put up a PDF of the letter. Like, the end. Mic drop.
Sexual chocolate.
No, Jamie's going to be the same way when she gets her letter of hate from Mike Smith. Rocky Mike Smith sent a letter just ripping her a new one because of her hate. Then she'll probably mount that and retire too.
Just one of those. Just like Leslie said, they don't care. They don't. They probably don't even know. We're not even on their radar. They don't care. They take their check and they go cash it.
And they will always have more money than all of us combined. So there you go. Well, Leslie, you did a great job with April this year, April 1st. Another good year. Yeah. I know it's the highlight of your year.
Well, all the credit to our fantastic writers who have just amazing sense of humor. And also, our sister site, Eventing Nation, had a couple of a few sort of amazing spoofs, too. So we, you know, it's all worth checking out, even if it's not April 1st anymore. Go have a laugh.
Very good. It is horsenation.com is where you can find Leslie and the whole gang over there, all of her terrific writers at horsenation.com. Thank you, Leslie.
Thank you, guys. Have a great week.
Whatever.
Well, we're going to keep it in the family, and we're going to our next guest right away. But first, I have to play a little promo of what we're going to be talking about.
If you love horses, if you love show jumping, cross country, and dressage, then you're going to love the Rolex Kentucky 3-day event. It's the best weekend all year.
I think it's the most amazing place that I've ever seen. I mean, I've seen it on Eurosport, I've seen it on the internet, but then when you actually drive into the park, you just think, oh my God, it is just amazing.
Rolex Kentucky at the Kentucky Horse Park is the only four-star eventing competition in the Western Hemisphere. Four stars is the highest level of competition, the same level as the Olympics. The horses, riders, vendors, and audience come to Kentucky from all over the world.
The Rolex is fantastic here. I'm the third time here, and next year I will be back.
It's a great show, and there's lots of people, a whole mix of people here, which is really good.
The whole family will enjoy the beauty of the Kentucky Horse Park grounds and the magnificence and power of the horses and riders. Rolex always happens the last weekend in April and a week before the Kentucky Derby. Make plans now to visit us for the Rolex Kentucky 3-day event. We'll see you in the bluegrass.
And that's right. We're going to talk to Jenny Autry of Eventing Nation to talk about a Rolex preview. We've had Jenny on once already, and she's going to give us a little more. Good morning, Jenny.
Good morning. How are you?
Fantastic. Thanks so much for joining us. What is we've had so many more people enter Rolex and lots yeah. more going on. Talk to us about it.
Well, we had a historic high of 82 entries, which is, extremely exciting to have so many entries from our American riders, but also so many riders who are going to be coming over from Europe and even as far away as New Zealand. So it's exciting to have that many, and we just finished up our last prep event at the Fork in North Carolina, which is the final event where the riders go, at least our U.S.-based riders, to get that last cross-country course under their belt before they head off to gallop across the bluegrass. So, every prep event is behind us now, and now we have a good idea of who might be hot for Rolex and who might be challenging people like William Fox Pitt and Michael Young for that win.
Oh, I think we might have lost Jamie. Jamie, you still there?
Jamie. She's gone. She had to go. She'll be back.
I guess. I don't know what happened. But, now you what are there standouts? Are there ones that we're looking at? And who is coming from overseas?
Yes. We talked in our last preview about how we expected Michael Young to enter, and he has, in fact, done that with Sam, who was his triple gold medalist at the World Equestrian Games, Olympic Games, and European Championships.
And he won what? He won 3-4 years ago at Rolex, Michael?
He won the World Equestrian Games, which were held at Kentucky. So
right,
he knows the
That's
venue already with this horse. Yep, exactly. Yeah. He knows the venue, and we know the horse can win there. And then he's also bringing Fisher Rakana, who was his individual silver medalist from last year's World Equestrian Games. So essentially he's bringing two of the top horses in the world to this event. So I think it's extremely difficult to bet against him. That said, you can never count out people like William Fox Pitt, who is bringing Bay My Hero, who is last year's winner at Rolex. And we also have a strong American contingent. You look at Lauren Kiefer and Veronica, who just won their advanced division at the Fork this past weekend in their final prep event. They were second last year to William Fox Pitt. And you have riders like Philip Dutton, who's bringing Mighty Nice. He was 10th at this event in 2012. Then you have Buck Davidson bringing Ballyno Castle RM. He was third at this event last year and fourth the year before. So we have a lot of heavy hitters who have been in the top 10 with these same exact horses that they're bringing. So I think it's hard to bet against the Germans and William Fox Pitt, but we also have some exciting American riders too.
Now, did I see that they bumped up the prize money this year too?
The prize money has
gone
up. I think you're right. Yeah,
I think
it's
100,000 this year. Yeah,
and of course,
I thought I read
that. The Rolex watch too, which is always, William Fox Pitt has three now, so I don't even know he could wear one of his anklet now. I mean,
he does. He wears them on his ankle. Yeah, that's right. Yeah. You know, when you have three Rolexes, why do you need another one?
Well,
he said he'll have them.
He said that he needs to keep winning them for his kids now. So, come on to his kids.
I was going to ask, do you think he sells them or do you think he gives them away? Or is his wife rolling, like, blinging like crazy? I mean, what's the story? He probably...
There was this the internet was in a flurry. I think it was last year or the year before when a Rolex watch surfaced on eBay saying that it had been a watch that was for one of the winners, and everyone was speculating who on earth could this be who's, you know, selling their Rolex on eBay. We never found out who it was or if it actually was one of the winners. But, yeah, William Fox Pitt has said that he wants to win one for all of his kids. He has three kids. So he actually needs one more if he wants one for himself and each kid. So I'm sure he'll have that in mind when we get
to the next one. Well, he probably needs two because the mother of the child definitely has
one. Yes. So now he needs two more. Oh, he has to get more then.
Let's hope. It's been a long time, I think, since Americans have taken first place at the Rolex, right?
Yeah. Philip Dutton was the last one to do it in 2008 with Canot, a very special horse owned by Bruce Duchossois. And, yeah, it's overdue, absolutely. It's just it's kind of a catch-22 because it's exciting that we have so many riders coming over from Europe. It shows that that, you know, the quality of the event is attracting that level of competition. So we're excited to have that type of experience at this event. But at the same time, it does make it that much more difficult for an American to win. So it's a bit of a double-edged sword.
How about cross-country course? What rumors are you hearing about that this year? Because they try and mix that up a little bit every year.
Sure. Well, what's interesting is that Lexington has been dealing with an extremely heavy amount of rainfall, the highest rainfall that they've seen since 2002. So the horse park was actually completely underwater this past weekend, flooded. The roads were turning into rivers. It was quite dramatic to see all the photos. What we're hearing now is that it's drained very well over the weekend. There is still quite a heavy amount of rain in the forecast leading up to the event. So that is going to affect a bit with how they're preparing the course, but we've been told that there's not a major cause for concern at this point. So yeah, that's.
Do you
said,
remember, Jenny, the year that? Do you remember the year that the coffin was more of a lake? Do you remember that year?
People are wondering if that's what we're going to see. I honestly think that it's probably going to dry out and be just fine. They have started bringing in some of the portable fences in this last week. And what we have seen in these preview pictures is that the head of the lake is going to come earlier in the course this year, which is quite exciting. That's the main spot on course for all the spectators to stand around and see. Traditionally comes later in the course. So having it earlier is just going to make it that much more exciting in the beginning when these horses and riders are setting off on course. So we're excited to see that.
Do you think that they, being that there's all the safety issues and all the talk now, that they're going to start leaning towards putting some of those more technical questions at the beginning of the course, like moving the head of the lake? When they said they were moving the head of the lake, that's exactly what went to my head was, are they trying to get the tough stuff where people flip and fall kind of out of the way while the horses are still fresh? Or is that just me?
I had wondered that as well. I haven't spoken to Derek DeGrazia, the course designer, about it. I mean, again, it's one of those issues where having those technical questions at the beginning of the course when the horses are a bit more fresh, not as tired, that can be good for some. On the other hand, some horses might need more time to be able to settle in and get focused to be able to mentally handle those questions. So it kind of, I think, depends a bit on how the horse thinks and tackles the course mentally. So, but yeah, I think in this case, moving the head of the lake earlier is just to change it up a bit, give the course a bit of a fresher, different feel than what we've seen in recent years. And I'm really excited to see how it rides.
They did that this year at Live Oak, the carriage driving here that we reported on. They moved the water to as the first obstacle, and then the very hard second. There's one. What's it called, Jennifer? No, I totally lost track, and I reported on it. But they put the two hardest first, the gulch. They put that second, so they did those first, which was unusual to do the two hardest first. So we're even kind of seeing that driving to mix it up a little bit, too.
Yeah, typically you see, you know, your first fences are going to be those nice galloping fences to get the horses settled into a rhythm, and then you're going to build as you go with the combination being a little more simple at first, and then it just kind of builds along the whole way. So I'm not sure of the exact placement of the head of the lake, but we'll definitely see some of those, you know, more galloping type fences first, then some more of the simple combinations is what I'm thinking. But yeah, I'm really excited to get there and be able to walk it. We'll post a full preview of the course, each fence on Eventing Nation. We'll do that on probably the Tuesday of the event is normally when we do it. So anyone who wants to check that out, be sure to head over to Eventing Nation on that Tuesday, which is coming up very quickly, just 2 weeks and a day away. I can't believe it.
Yeah, I know. It's not very long now. Will it be live streamed? Do you know who's live streaming?
Yes. USCF Network does a fantastic live stream each year. I'm not sure who the commentary team is going to be this year. Karen O'Connor, John Kyle, they were doing the commentary last year, along with Charlotte Skinner-Robson, who always does a great job. So I'm assuming that we're going to hear those voices back again this year. And, yeah.
And
so
it's free. It's free if it's
totally
USCF Network.
Free.
Yeah.
It's totally free. They do a wonderful job. So you can watch starting from the very first day of dressage all the way through the awards ceremony on Sunday. They stream every single minute.
Let me give them a plug, too. I got to tell you, we did, Wendy and I did the commentary for Live Oak for the USCF Network all weekend. And the team that they have put together there to do the, from the cameramen to the directors and everything, they were so good to us. They were truly a joy to work with. They guided us because we had never done this before. And we had two full days of commentary to do. And they guided us through every step of it. They really did help us along the way. And, you know, we got such good comments after that. And it was partly because of what they did. They really are a good team over there.
Absolutely. Yeah, they were at Carolina International a few weeks ago streaming the three-star there, and I had the chance to meet their team there, and they, what a wonderful group of people who are extremely efficient and professional at their job. They have a really exciting setup. It's really cool. You ever see their big production van, you go in there, and it's like, you know, the monitors and all the dials, and it's just a totally professional setup. And so now you can see, looking at that, why the quality of the production is so good. So, yes, everyone plan to watch the live stream on USCF Network. They do an amazing job, and we're so lucky to have that as a free service. It's fantastic for everyone to be able to see this event for free.
Now, one other most important question before we let you go is, where is the Eventing Nation tailgate to take place on Cross Country Day?
So we have one of the premium tailgate spots. It's going to be right on the galloping rope. And it's going – we're going to have a whole map posted on Eventing Nation so that we can point you in the right direction. At what people need to know is to look for the red and white flags. We put – actual red and white cross country.
No, Jenny. What people need
top.
To know is to, no. Wait a minute. They don't need to do all that. They just need to go to the tailgate that has the largest group of drinking people, and that will be the Eventing Nation booth. You guys got in so much trouble last year from your neighbors because I think you weren't counting on the hundreds of people that showed up all day long.
I know and that's why we bought two tailgate spots this year to have twice the space because we did get in trouble and we were just having too much fun. And we were thrilled how many people came out and we're expecting an even bigger crowd this year. So look for the red and white cross country flag on top of the tent, and that is where the party will be all day. We start in the morning with mimosas and we go all day with beer and snacks and all that.
I know you ran out early on and had to make another run to the store. I don't think you counted on quite the volume of alcohol that would be consumed by your group that day.
Well, and every year it gets bigger and bigger, so we are trying to plan for that this year. We will do more emergency beer runs if needed. And the other thing I wanted everyone to know is that we're clearing out the inventory of our store, so we're going to be giving away a ton of free hats, T-shirts, stickers, a ton of Eventing Nation gear. So please come to the tailgate. It's going to be a blast. You'll almost certainly walk away with some free Eventing Nation swag, and you'll have a great time and get free beer.
Oh, save me some gear and beer, Glenn.
Gear and beer. We will save it for you.
Well, thanks a bunch. We really appreciate you being here. Will you have a chance to join us again next week for the last time before the show?
Absolutely, and that's when I'm going to be making some picks and predictions. Ooh. So, yes, I will come. I'll come ready to let you know who to watch for the weekend.
We'll have our picks ready too. So we'll be and make sure you have a sleeper. You know, like a rookie sleeper that just in case could have it done. That'd be awesome.
Absolutely.
You're just so full of info, and we just really appreciate you coming on, Jenny. It's been awesome. Thank you so much.
Thank you for having me. I'm happy to do it.
EventingNation.com.
Jinx.
She's buying the beer, by the way, so that no problem. I'll gladly supply you with one. Well, that's it for today. Thank you so much for joining us, everybody. We really appreciate you being here and joining us every day from around the world. We hope that you enjoyed this, and we'll be looking more at, of course, the Kentucky Derby coming up over the next couple of weeks. Rolex is always a busy time for us. We have to fit so much into the shows that we have with all the events that are happening, and we're glad to do that for you. We'll be back tomorrow morning. Jennifer, who is tomorrow? Help me out here. Oh, it's Emily with the Jumping Show.
Sure, Jumping.
Once a month Jumping Show. Yeah, Emily Thompson will be here. Of course, she'll have a lot to report on, because there's a lot going on in that world right now. And then Jamie will be back here on Wednesday. So we look forward to chatting with you all then. Have a terrific day.
Hey, Neuter Gal guys. Have a good one. You go take care of the screaming child. Thanks for putting up with him, Glenn.